Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me in the back? I don't know what time it is, but tonight enough with all the trouble we have over these microphones.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, what a time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
Of the deep south and the depressing ghettos of the north.
Let me hear you.
Feel your presence.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
A poor education in the hood you live in. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion
from L.A.
flow
to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama.
The baby's
the king's daughters came down to take a bath in the river, while her servant women walked along the riverbank. She saw the basket in the tall grass and sent one of the young women to pull it out of the water. When the king's daughter opened the basket, she saw the baby and felt sorry for him because he was crying. She said,
"This must be one of
them." This is the story, Exodus, the story of Moses. This is the $1 trillion flow tonight. I want to thank those that was in Maryville this morning. And we got to Maryville, we prayed with some people. And those that are Sister Lisa, I'm praying for you. And also those that are in Las Vegas, I'm praying for you, those young ladies and young men in Las Vegas today, tonight. And they're going into the pros. I'm praying also for you, Brother Dale Spann, praying for you. Also praying for you, Brother Dale Spann, for WBON. And what I'm saying tonight, the trees out there, if you got a need, plant a seed, put out a website, dustyabrahamgiveaside.com, what you need to do. We'll be in Detroit for Sunday and back to Chicago and into Minnesota. Bright Star, thank you for the call, Bright Star. Praying for you. Helen, I'm praying for you also. Get your Bible to Exodus. I want to talk tonight. I want to deal tonight with the $1 trillion flow. And I was talking to the lady. She said, "What that mean? That mean that you're supposed to be in your own business." So I'm talking about, "I retired." "But you, how can you retire? You're still suffering." And Biden sending $1 billion over to Premier. But I want to say tonight to you, if there's a need, plant a seed. And whatever you need, God will give it to you quick, fast, and there. I'm praying for you, Brother Dwight, and I'm praying for you, Sister Sheena. I'm praying for you. Dr. Gibson, I'm praying for you. And I also, I'm praying special for Mary Scott. God bless you. And those, every telephone call, every letter. Mary Hawkins, God bless you tonight. I ain't heard from Pearl. If Pearl went to sleep on me. But Mary, I'm going to read Prince and I'm talking we get into the Bible. This is Friday, $1 trillion flow night. And the $1 trillion flow was set up, Dr. Christian. It was set up for you to go into business. I want to thank those young men that are going to be pros. They're going to Chicago. They're going to New York. And they're going to be millionaires. Okay, and if you go to Vegas, a lady called me from Vegas and says, "Pass out him." All the hotels filled up and people just out, you know, out there for the draft. And next year, I think they're going to have it in Detroit. Sister Kim, God bless you tonight and your mother and your grandmother. God is able tonight. Psalms 40, Exodus, chapter 1. And go from 1 to the whole chapter, Exodus. It talked about Moses that was in the water. It talked about Egypt. It talked about how Moses, God called Moses to do what he needed to do. We're talking about the $1 trillion flow night. And I keep saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The 23rd number song. Mary should know about heart. She read it every night. And she didn't read it last night because we were into the word last night. Let me read this to you right now. It says, Dr. King, the trillion flow, financial blessing, money miracles, Exodus 14:14. And as you go into Exodus 14:14, Mary, press 1 if you're on the line. I think I see your number, but I want to make sure I get you. I was talking to Lisa. I said, "Lisa, somebody was cussing." She said, "It wasn't me." You know, and it reminded me of Tyrone Davis. And Tyrone Davis said, the lady said, "Tyrone, you was there." He said, "It wasn't my hat. It wasn't me." And lots of you said, "It wasn't me in a minute." And Tyrone Davis had a song that I reached a turning point. He had another song out that it wasn't me. And the lady said, oh, yeah, it was you. He said, did you get my hat? Did you get my shoes? Okay. 8138, you can read the 23rd number song. Yeah, the 23rd number of the Lord is my shepherd. Shall I want Mary, you own? Well, I don't know if she got her phone on or not. Sometimes they don't put their phone go out and in. Mm-hmm. Dr. Christian, I want to say to you tonight, I want you to turn your Bible to Exodus. And I want you to deal with Exodus 14:14. And I want to tell you, I was looking for Sister Deborah Pickett. I didn't get in contact, but I prayed. So she'll get in contact because she could be dead. You know, when people jump on the vibration, I called one man. The lady said, Bishop, I've been trying to get you. He dead. COVID got him. COVID took a lot of people out. You better check on your friends. They might have took your friends out. And I want to say this. I had Bright Star on the line. Bright Star was saying that people took the shot. Lots of women have and miscarriages because of the shot. Or something happening with their body. And more women bleeding more. And it's on their cycle. And Bright Star was talking about that happened to most people. If you got any kind of ailment, you need to know what to take. And to clear your system. And one lady telling me that it's some kind of, it's a liquid type of mechanism going to your system, and it's like a tracking device. All that's been said, but you have to testify what you know happened. We're talking about the $1 trillion vote. If they can send $33 billion over that premier, you can't send $1 billion to America? You know, the Republican is doing it because Biden can't do it if the Republican let him. So they all in this thing together. But what I'm saying, we got crime, lack of jobs, people homeless, have nowhere to stay, and people don't have no food, and gas so high. I was getting gas today one place. It was 486. Another place it was 550. Another place it was 405. Gas come just doing what they want to do. They just charging anything. You know, you got to have gas that you're gonna get on a bicycle or make you a wagon or get you a mule for this thing to work. The trillion flow. And we're talking about the trillion flow that works.
Trillion-dollar flow.
Trillion-dollar
flow. From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Texas. The trillion-dollar flow.
This frightened Moses because he was sure that people must have found out what had happened. When the king heard what Moses had done, the king wanted to kill him, but Moses escaped and went to the land of Midian. One day, Moses was sitting there by a well, when the seven daughters of Jethro, the priest of Midian, came up to water their father's sheep and goats. Some shepherds tried to chase them away, but Moses came to their rescue and watered their animals. When Jethro's daughters returned home, their father asked,
"Why have you come back so early today?"
They answered,
"An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds, and he even watered our sheep and goats."
"Where is he?"
Jethro asked.
"Why did you leave him out there? Invite him to eat with us."
Moses agreed to stay on with Jethro, who later let his daughter Zipporah marry Moses. And when she had a son, Moses said,
"I will name him Gershom, since I'm a foreigner in this country."
After the death of the king of Egypt, the Israelites still complained because they were forced to be slaves. They cried out for help, and God heard their loud cries. He did not forget the promise he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because he knew what was happening to his people, he felt sorry for them. Exodus 3. One day, Moses was taking care of the sheep and goats of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and Moses decided to lead them across the desert to Sinai, the holy mountain. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to him from a burning bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but was not burning up.
"This is strange,"
he said to himself.
"I'll go over and see why the bush isn't burning up."
When the Lord saw Moses coming near the bush, he called him by name, and Moses answered,
"Here I am."
God replied,
"Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. The ground where you are standing is holy. I am the God who was worshipped by your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob."
Moses was afraid to look at God, and so he hid his face. The Lord said,
"I have seen how my people are suffering as slaves in Egypt, and I have heard them beg for my help because of the way they are being mistreated. I feel sorry for them, and I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians. I will bring my people out of Egypt into a country where there is good land, rich with milk and honey. I will give them the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. My people have begged for my help, and I have seen how cruel the Egyptians are to them. Now, go to the king. I'm sending you to lead my people out of his country."
But Moses said,
"Who am I to go to the king and lead your people out of Egypt?"
God replied,
"I will be with you, and you will know that I am the one who sent you when you worship me on this mountain after you have led my people out of Egypt."
Moses answered,
"I will tell the people of Israel that the God their ancestors worshipped has sent me to them. But what should I say if they ask me your name?"
God said to Moses,
"I am the eternal God. So tell them that the Lord, whose name is I Am, has sent you. This is my name forever, and it is the name that people must use from now on. Call together the leaders of Israel and tell them that the God who was worshipped by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to you. Tell them, I have seen how terribly they are being treated in Egypt, and I promise to lead them out of their troubles. I will give them a land rich with milk and honey, where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. The leaders of Israel will listen to you. Then you must take them to the king of Egypt and say, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews has appeared to us. Let us walk 3 days into the desert where we can offer a sacrifice to him.' But I know that the king of Egypt won't let you go unless something forces him to. So I will use my mighty power to perform all kinds of miracles and strike down the Egyptians. Then the king will send you away. After I punish the Egyptians, they will be so afraid of you that they will give you anything you want. You are my people, and I will let you take many things with you when you leave the land of Egypt. Every Israelite woman will go to her Egyptian neighbors or to any Egyptian woman living in her house. She will ask them for gold and silver jewelry and from their finest clothes. The Egyptians will give them to you, and you will put these fine things on your sons and daughters. You will carry all this away when you leave Egypt. Exodus 4. Moses asked the Lord,
"Suppose everyone refuses to listen to my message, and no one believes that you really appeared to me."
The Lord answered, "What's that in your hand?"
"A walking stick,"
Moses replied. "Throw it down," the Lord commanded. So Moses threw the stick on the ground. It immediately turned into a snake, and Moses jumped back. "Pick it up by the tail," the Lord told him. And when Moses did this, the snake turned back into a walking stick. "Do this," the Lord said, "and the Israelites will believe that you have seen me, the God who was worshipped by their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Next, the Lord commanded Moses, "Put your hand inside your shirt." Moses obeyed, and when he took it out, his hand had turned white as snow, like someone with leprosy. "Put your hand back inside your shirt," the Lord told him. Moses did so, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. Then the Lord said, "If no one believes either of these miracles, take some water from the Nile River and pour it on the ground. Water will immediately turn to blood." Moses replied,
"I have never been a good speaker. I wasn't one before you spoke to me, and I'm not one now. I am slow at speaking. I can never think of what to say."
But the Lord answered, "Who makes people able to speak, or makes them deaf, or unable to speak? Who gives them sight, or makes them blind? Don't you know that I am the one who does these things? Now go. When you speak, I will be with you and give you the words to say." Moses begged,
"Lord, please send someone else to do it."
The Lord became irritated with Moses and said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he is a good speaker. He's already on his way here to visit you, and he will be happy to see you again. Aaron will speak to the people for you, and you will be like me, telling Aaron what to say. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will tell each of you what to do. Now, take his walking stick and use it to perform miracles." Moses went to his father-in-law Jethro and asked,
"Please let me return to Egypt to see if any of my people are still alive."
"All right,"
Jethro replied.
"I hope all goes well."
But even before this, the Lord had told Moses, "Leave the land of Midian and return to Egypt. Everyone who wanted to kill you is dead." So Moses put his wife and sons on donkeys and headed for Egypt, holding the walking stick that had the power of God. On the way, the Lord said to Moses, "When you get to Egypt, go to the king and work the miracles I have shown you. But I will make him so stubborn that he will refuse to let my people go. Then tell him that I have said, Israel is my firstborn son, and I commanded you to release him so he could worship me. But you refused, and now I will kill your firstborn son." One night, while Moses was in camp, the Lord was about to kill him. But Zipporah circumcised her son with a flint knife. She touched his legs with the skin she had cut off and said,
"My dear son, this blood will protect you."
So the Lord did not harm Moses. Then Zipporah said,
"Yes, my dear, you are safe because of this circumcision."
The Lord sent Aaron to meet Moses in the desert. So Aaron met Moses at Mount Sinai and greeted him with a kiss. Moses told Aaron what God had sent him to say. He also told him about the miracles God had given him the power to perform. Later, they brought together the leaders of Israel, and Aaron told them what the Lord had sent Moses to say. Then Moses worked the miracles for the people, and everyone believed. They bowed down and worshiped the Lord, because they knew that he had seen their suffering and was going to help them. Exodus 5. Moses and Aaron went to the king of Egypt and told him,
The Lord God says, let my people go into the desert, so they can honor me with a celebration there.
Who is this Lord?
Why should I obey him?
The king replied, I refuse to let you and your people go.
They answered,
the Lord God of the Hebrews has appeared to us. Please let us walk 3 days into the desert where we can offer sacrifices to him. If you don't, he may strike us down with terrible troubles or with war.
The king said,
Moses and Aaron, why are you keeping these people from working? Look how many you are keeping from doing their work. Now everyone, get back to work.
That same day, the king gave orders to his slave bosses and to the men directly in charge of the Israelite slaves. He told them,
don't give the slaves any more straw to put in their bricks. Force them to find their own straw wherever they can. But they must make the same number of bricks as before. They are lazy, or else they would not beg me to let them go and sacrifice to their God. Make them work so hard that they won't have time to listen.
The slave bosses and the men in charge of the slaves went out and told them,
the king says he would not give you any more straw. Go and find your own straw wherever you can. But you must still make as many bricks as before.
The slaves went all over Egypt looking for straw, but the slave bosses were hard on them and kept saying,
each day you have to make as many bricks as you did when you were given straw.
The bosses beat the men in charge of the slaves and said,
why didn't you force the slaves to make as many bricks yesterday and today as they did before?
Finally, the men in charge of the slaves went to the king and said,
why are you treating us like this? No one brings us any straw, but we're still ordered to make the same number of bricks. We're beaten with whips, and your own people are to blame.
The king replied,
you are lazy. Nothing but lazy. That's why you keep asking me to let you go and sacrifice to your Lord. Get back to work. You won't be given straw, but you must still make the same number of bricks.
The men knew they were in deep trouble when they were ordered to make the same number of bricks each day. After they left the king, they went to see Moses and Aaron, who had been waiting for them. Then the men said,
we hope the Lord will punish both of you for making the king and his officials hate us. Now they even have an excuse to kill us.
Moses left them and prayed,
our Lord, why have you brought so much trouble on your people? Is that why you sent me here? Ever since you told me to speak to the king, he has caused nothing but trouble for these people. And you haven't done a thing to help.
Exodus 6. The Lord God told Moses, soon you will see what I will do to the king. Because of my mighty power, he will let my people go, and he will even chase them out of his country. My name is the Lord. When I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I came as God all-powerful, and did not use my name. I made an agreement. I promised them the land of Canaan where they were living as foreigners. Now I have seen how the people of Israel are suffering because of the Egyptians, and I will keep my promise. Here is my message for Israel. I am the Lord, and with my mighty power I will punish the Egyptians and free you from slavery. I will accept you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I was the one who rescued you from the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I solemnly promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it will be yours. I am the Lord. When Moses told this to the Israelites, they were too discouraged and mistreated to believe him. Then the Lord told Moses to demand that the king of Egypt let the Israelites leave, but Moses replied,
I'm not a powerful speaker. If the Israelites won't listen to me, why should the king of Egypt?
But the Lord sent Aaron and Moses with a message for the Israelites and for the king. He also ordered Aaron and Moses to free the people from Egypt. The following men were the heads of their ancestral clans. The sons of Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi.
the sons of Simeon, were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. Levi lived to be 137. His sons were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Gershon's sons were Libni and Shimei. Kohath lived to be 133. His sons were Amram, Izhar, and Uzziel. Merari's sons were Mahli and Mushi. All of the above were from the Levi tribe. Amram lived to be 137. He married his father's sister, Jochebed, and they had two sons, Aaron and Moses. Izhar's sons were Korah, Nephig, and Zichri. Uzziel's sons were Mishael, Elzaphan, Shithri. Aaron married Elisheba. She was the daughter of Aminadab and the sister of Nashon. They had four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Korah's sons were Aser, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. Aaron's son Eleazar married one of Jubiel's daughters, and their son was Phinehas. This ends the list of those who were the heads of clans in the Levi tribe. The Lord had commanded Aaron and Moses to lead every family and tribe of Israel out of Egypt, and so they ordered the king of Egypt to set the people of Israel free. When the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, he said, I am the Lord. Tell the king of Egypt everything I say to you. But Moses answered, you know I am a very poor speaker, and the king will never listen to me. Exodus 7. The Lord said, I am going to let your brother Aaron speak with you. He will tell your message to the king, just as a prophet speaks my message to the people. Tell Aaron everything I say to you, and he will order the king to let my people leave his country. But I will make the king so stubborn that he won't listen to you. He won't listen even when I do many terrible things to him and his nation. Then I will bring a final punishment on Egypt, and the king will let Israel's families and tribes go. When this happens, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord and spoke to the king. At the time, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83. The Lord said, Moses, when the king asks you and Aaron to perform a miracle, command Aaron to throw his walking stick down in front of the king, and it will turn into a snake. Moses and Aaron went to the king and his officials and did exactly as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw the stick down and it turned into a snake. Then the king called in the wise men and the magicians, who used their secret powers to do the same thing. They threw down sticks that turned into snakes, but Aaron's snake swallowed theirs. The king behaved just as the Lord had said and stubbornly refused to listen. The Lord said to Moses,
the Egyptian king stubbornly refuses to change his mind and let the people go. Tomorrow morning, take the stick that turned into a snake, then wait beside the Nile River for the king. Tell him,
the Lord God of the Hebrews sent me to order you to release his people so they can worship him in the desert. But until now you have paid no attention. The Lord is going to do something to show you that he really is the Lord. I will strike the Nile with this stick, and the water will turn into blood. The fish will die, the river will stink, and none of you Egyptians will be able to drink the water.
Moses then commanded Aaron to hold his stick over the water, so that every drop of water in Egypt would turn into blood, including rivers, canals, ponds, and even the water in buckets and jars. Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord. Aaron held out his stick, then struck the Nile as the king and his officials watched. The river turned into blood, the fish died, and the water smelled so bad that none of the Egyptians could drink it. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians used their secret powers to do the same thing. The king did just as the Lord had said. He stubbornly refused to listen. Then he went back to his palace and never gave it a second thought. The Egyptians had to dig holes along the banks of the Nile for drinking water, because water from the river was unfit to drink. Exodus 8. 7 days after the Lord had struck the Nile, he said to Moses,
go to the palace and tell the king of Egypt that I order him to let my people go so they can worship me. If he refuses, I will cover his entire country with frogs. Warn the king that the Nile will be full of frogs, and from there they will spread into the royal palace, including the king's bedroom and even his bed. Frogs will enter the homes of his officials and will find their way into ovens and into the bowls of bread dough. Frogs will be crawling on everyone, the king, his officials, and every citizen of Egypt. Moses, now command Aaron to hold his stick over the water. Then frogs will come from all rivers, canals, and ponds in Egypt, and they will cover the land.
Aaron obeyed, and suddenly frogs were everywhere in Egypt. But the magicians used their secret powers to do the same thing. The king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them, if you ask the Lord to take these frogs away from me and my people, I will let your people go and offer sacrifices to him. All right, Moses answered. You choose the time when I am to pray for the frogs to stop bothering you, your officials, and your people, and for them to leave your houses and be found only in the river. Do it tomorrow, the king replied. As you wish, Moses agreed. Then everyone will discover that there is no God like the Lord, and frogs will no longer be found anywhere except in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left the palace, Moses begged the Lord to do something about the frogs he had sent as punishment for the king. The Lord listened to Moses, and frogs died everywhere, in houses, yards, and fields. The dead frogs were placed in piles, and the whole country began to stink. But when the king saw that things were now better, he again did just as the Lord had said, and stubbornly refused to listen to Moses and Aaron. The Lord said to Moses,
command Aaron to strike the ground with his walking stick, and everywhere in Egypt the dust will turn into gnats.
They obeyed, and when Aaron struck the ground with the stick, gnats started swarming on people and animals. In fact, every speck of dust in Egypt turned into a gnat. When the magicians tried to use their secret powers to do this, they failed, and gnats stayed on people and animals. The magicians told the king,
God has done this.
But as the Lord had said, the king was too stubborn to listen. The Lord said to Moses,
early tomorrow morning, while the king is on his way to the river, go and say to him, the Lord commands you to let his people go so they can worship him. If you don't, he will send swarms of flies to attack you, your officials, and every citizen of your country. Houses will be full of flies, and the ground will crawl with them. The Lord's people in Goshen won't be bothered by flies, but your people in the rest of the country will be tormented by them. That's how you will know that the Lord is here in Egypt. This miracle will happen tomorrow.
The Lord kept his promise. The palace and the homes of the royal officials swarmed with flies, and the rest of the country was infested with them as well. Then the king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them,
go sacrifice to your God, but stay here in Egypt.
That's impossible, Moses replied. Any sacrifices we offer to the Lord our God would disgust the Egyptians, and they would stone us to death. No, indeed, the Lord has ordered us to walk 3 days into the desert before offering sacrifices to him, and that's what we have to do.
Then the king told him,
I'll let you go into the desert to offer sacrifices if you don't go very far. But in the meantime, pray for me.
Your Majesty,
Moses replied,
I'll pray for you as soon as I leave. And by tomorrow, the flies will stop bothering you, your officials, and the citizens of your country. Only make sure that you're telling the truth this time, and that you really intend to let our people offer sacrifices to the Lord.
After leaving the palace, Moses prayed, and the Lord answered his prayer. Not a fly was left to pester the king, his officials, or anyone else in Egypt.
But the king turned stubborn again and would not let the people go. Exodus 9. The Lord sent Moses with this message for the king of Egypt.
The Lord God of the Hebrews commands you to let his people go so they can worship him. If you keep refusing, he will bring a terrible disease on your horses and donkeys, your camels and cattle, and your sheep and goats. But the Lord will protect the animals that belong to the people of Israel, and none of theirs will die. Tomorrow is the day the Lord has set to do this.
It happened the next day. All of the animals belonging to the Egyptians died, but the Israelites did not lose even one. When the king found out, he was still too stubborn to let the people go. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron,
"Take a few handfuls of ashes from a stove and have Moses throw them into the air. Be sure the king is watching. The ashes will blow across the land of Egypt, causing sores to break out on people and animals."
So they took a few handfuls of ashes and went to the king. Moses threw them into the air, and sores immediately broke out on the Egyptians and their animals. The magicians were suffering so much from the sores that they could not even come to Moses. Everything happened just as the Lord had told Moses. He made the king too stubborn to listen to Moses and Aaron. The Lord told Moses to get up early the next morning and say to the king,
"The Lord God of the Hebrews commands you to let his people go so they can worship him. If you don't, he will send his worst plagues to strike you, your officials, and everyone else in your country. You will find out that no one can oppose the Lord. In fact, he could already have sent a terrible disease and wiped you from the face of the earth. But he has kept you alive just to show you his power and to bring honor to himself everywhere in the world. You are still determined not to let the Lord's people go. All right, at this time tomorrow, he will bring on Egypt the worst hailstorm in its history. You had better give orders for every person and every animal in Egypt to take shelter. If they don't, they will die."
Some of the king's officials were frightened by what the Lord had said, and they hurried off to make sure their slaves and animals were safe. But others paid no attention to his threats and left their slaves and animals out in the open. Then the Lord told Moses,
"Stretch your arm toward the sky so that hailstones will fall on people, animals, and crops in the land of Egypt."
Moses pointed his walking stick toward the sky, and hailstones started falling everywhere. Thunder roared and lightning flashed back and forth, striking the ground. This was the worst storm in the history of Egypt. People, animals, and crops were pounded by the hailstones, and bark was stripped from trees. Only Goshen, where the Israelites lived, was safe from the storm. The king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them,
"Now I have feared. My people and I are committing that the Lord is right. We cannot stand any more of this thunder and hail. Please ask the Lord to make it stop. Your people can go. You don't have to stay in Egypt any longer."
Moses answered,
"As soon as I leave the city, I will lift my arms in prayer. When the thunder and hail stop, you will know that the earth belongs to the Lord. But I am certain that neither you nor your officials really fear the Lord God."
Meanwhile, the flax and barley crops had been destroyed by the storm because they were ready to ripen. But the wheat crops ripened later, and they were not damaged. After Moses left the royal palace of the city, he lifted his arms in prayer to the Lord, and the thunder, hail, and drenching rain stopped. When the king realized that the storm was over, he disobeyed once more. He and his officials were so stubborn that he refused to let the Israelites go. This was exactly what the Lord had said would happen. Exodus 10. The Lord said to Moses,
"Go back to the king. I have made him and his officials stubborn so that I could work these miracles. I did this because I want you to tell your children and your grandchildren about my miracles and about my harsh treatment of the Egyptians. Then all of you will know that I am the Lord.
Moses and Aaron went to the king and told him that the Lord God of the Hebrews had said, "How long will you stubbornly refuse to obey? Release my people so they can worship me. Do this by tomorrow, or I will cover your country with so many locusts that you won't be able to see the ground. Most of your crops were ruined by the hailstones, but these locusts will destroy what little is left, including the trees. Your palace, the homes of your officials, and all other houses in Egypt will overflow with more locusts than have ever been seen in this country."
After Moses left the palace, the king's officials asked,
"Your Majesty, how much longer is this man going to be a troublemaker? Why don't you let the people leave so they can worship the Lord their God? Don't you know that Egypt is a disaster?"
The king had Moses and Aaron brought back, and he said,
"All right, you may go and worship the Lord your God. But first, tell me who will be going."
"Everyone, young and old,"
Moses answered.
"We will even take our sheep, goats, and cattle, because we want to hold a celebration in honor of the Lord."
The king replied,
"The Lord had better watch over you on the day I let you leave with your families. You're up to no good. Do you want to worship the Lord? All right, take only the men and go."
Then Moses and Aaron were chased out of the palace. The Lord told Moses, "Stretch your arm toward Egypt. Swarms of locusts will come and eat everything left by the hail." Moses held out his walking stick, and the Lord sent an east wind that blew across Egypt the rest of the day and all that night. By morning, locusts were swarming everywhere. Never before had there been so many locusts in Egypt, and never again will there be so many. The ground was black with locusts, and they ate everything left on the trees and in the fields. Nothing green remained in Egypt, not a tree or a plant. And once the king sent for Moses and Aaron, he told them,
"I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Forgive me one more time and ask the Lord to stop these insects from killing every living plant."
Moses left the palace and prayed. Then the Lord sent a strong west wind that swept the locusts into the Red Sea. Not one locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord made the king so stubborn that he still refused to let the Israelites go. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch your arm toward the sky, and everything will be covered with darkness thick enough to touch." Moses stretched his arm toward the sky, and Egypt was covered with darkness for 3 days. During that time, the Egyptians could not see each other or leave their homes, but there was light where the Israelites lived. The king sent for Moses and told him,
"Go worship the Lord and take your families with you. Just leave your sheep and goats to get."
"No,"
Moses replied.
"You must let us offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, and we won't know which animals we will need until we get there. That's why we can't leave even one of them here."
This time, the Lord made the king so stubborn that he said to Moses,
"Get out and stay out. If you ever come back, you're dead." "Have it your way," Moses answered. "You won't see me again."
Exodus 11. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to punish the king of Egypt and his people one more time. Then the king will gladly let you leave his land, so that I will stop punishing the Egyptians. He will even chase you out. Now, go and tell my people to ask their Egyptian neighbors for gold and silver jewelry." So the Lord made the Egyptians greatly respect the Israelites, and everyone, including the king and his officials, considered Moses an important leader. Moses went to the king and said,
"I have come to let you know what the Lord is going to do. About midnight, he will go slave woman. Even the firstborn males of cattle will die. Everywhere in Egypt, there will be loud crying. Nothing like this has ever happened before or will ever happen. But there won't be any need for the Israelites to cry. Things will be so quiet that not even a dog will be heard barking. Then your Egyptians will know that the Lord is good to the Israelites even while he punishes you. Your leaders will come and bow down, begging me to take my people and leave your country. Then we will leave. Moses was very angry. He turned and left. What the Lord had earlier said to Moses came true. He had said, the king of Egypt won't do this, and I will provide even more miracles. So the king of Egypt saw Moses and Aaron work miracles, but the Lord made him stubbornly refuse to let the Israelites leave his country. Exodus 12. Sometime later, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this month is to be the first month of the year for you. Tell the people of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, the head of each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for his family to eat. If any family is too small to eat the whole animal, they must share it with their next door neighbors. Choose either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a one-year-old male that has nothing wrong with it, and it must be large enough for everyone to have some of it. Each family must take care of its animal until the evening of the 14th day of the month, when the animals are to be killed. Some of the blood must be put on the two doorposts and above the door of each house where the animals are to be killed. That night, the animals are to be roasted and eaten, together with bitter herbs and thin bread made without yeast. Don't eat the meat raw or boiled. The entire animal, including its head, legs, and insides, must be roasted. Eat what you want that night, and the next morning, burn whatever is left. When you eat the meal, be dressed and ready to travel. Have your sandals on. Carry your walking stick in your hand, and eat quickly. This is the Passover festival, in honor of me, your Lord. That same night, I will pass through Egypt and kill the firstborn son in every family, and the firstborn male of all animals. I am the Lord, and I will punish the gods of Egypt. The blood on the houses will show me where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Then you won't be bothered by the terrible disasters I will bring on Egypt. Remember this day, and celebrate it each year as a festival in my honor. For 7 days you will eat bread made without yeast. And on the first of these 7 days, you must remove all yeast from your homes. If you eat anything made with yeast during this festival, you will no longer be part of Israel. Meet together for worship on the first and seventh days of the festival.